の信頼を始めていきたいと
思います。オムナモバガバテバスデバヤ。Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the third canto, chapter 2, Remembrance of Lord Krishna. We're on text number 22.And today topic will be Priya, the beloved. Actually, Narada Muni praises the Yadavas very nicely in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. So we'll discuss a little bit about that from chapters 4, 5, 6, and end with 7 a little bit.
Tasya.Kankaryam Alam Britan No Tatasya Kankaryam Alam Britan No Vigla Payanti Anga Yad Ugrasenam Vigla Payanti Anga Yad UgrasenamTishtan Nisanam Parameshti Dishne Tishtan Nisanam Parameshti Dishne Nabodhyayad Deva Nidharayati Nabodhyayad Deva NidharayatiTasya Kankaram Alam Britanno Vigla Payati Angayad Ugrasenam Tishtan Nishanam Parameshti Dishne Nyabodaya Deva Niharadeti.Tatasya Kankaram Alam Britanno Vigla Payati Angayad Agras Ugrasenam Tishtan Nishanam Parameshti Dishne Nyabodaya Devi NidharayatiTatasya Kankaram Alam Britanno Vigla Payati Anga Yada Ugrasenam Tishtan Nishanam Parameshti Dishne Nyabodaya Deva Nidharayeti.Tatasya Kankaryam Alam Britanno Vigla Payatyanga Yarugrasenam Tishtanishanam Parameshti Dishne Nyabodaya Deva Nidharayeti.Tatasya Kankaram Alam Britanno Vigla Payantyanga Yarugrasenam Tishtanishanam Parameshti Dishne Nyabodaya Deva Nidharayeti Tatasya kankarya malam britano. Vigla payatyanga yadukrasenam. Tistani shanam parameshti dishne. Nabodaya deva nidharayeti. Tatasya kankarya malam britano. Vigla payantyanga yadukrasenam. Tistani shanam parameshti dishne. Nyabodaya deva nirarayeti. Vaishnavis. Viglapayatianga yadaukrasenam. Tistani shanam parameshti dishne. Nyabodaya deva nidharayeti. Tatasya karamalam brittano. Viglapayati anga yadukrasenam. Tisana shan parameshti dishne. Dobadaya bhavata dhaneti. Tatasya kankarya malam britano. Vigla payantyanga yadukrasenam. Tistanna sanam parameshti dishne. Nabodaya deva nidharayeti. Tat. Therefore, tasya, his, kankaryam, service, alam, of course, britan, the servitors, na, us, vigla payanti, gives pain, anga, ovidura, yat, as much as, Ugrasenam, unto King Ugrasena, Tistan, being seated, Nishanam, waiting upon him, Parameshti Dishne, on the royal throne, Nyabodayat, submitted, Deva, addressing my Lord, Nidharaya, please know it, iti, thus. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, O Vidura, does it not pain us, his servitors, when we remember that he, Lord Krishna, used to stand before King Ugrasena, who was sitting on the royal throne, and used to submit explanations before him, saying, O my Lord, please let it be known to you. Please repeat. Therefore, O Vidura, does it not pain us, his servitors, when we remember that he, Lord Krishna, used to stand before King Ugrasena, who was sitting on the royal throne, and used to submit explanations before him, saying, O my Lord, please let it be known to you. Purport. Lord Krishna's gentle behavior before his so-called superiors, such as his father, grandfather, and elder brother, his amiable behavior with his so-called wives, friends, and contemporaries, his behavior as a child before his mother Yasoda,
and his naughty dealings with his young girlfriends cannot bewilder a pure devotee like Uddhava. Others who are not devotees are bewildered by such behavior of the Lord, who acted just like a human being. This bewilderment is explained by the Lord himself in the Bhagavad Gita 9:11 as follows. Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanum ashritam parambhava majananto mama bhuta maheshvaram. Persons with a poor fund of knowledge belittle the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Not knowing his exalted position as the Lord of everything. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has explained his position clearly, but the demoniac atheistic student squeezes out an interpretation to suit his own purpose and misleads unfortunate followers into the same mentality. Such unfortunate persons merely pick up some slogans from the great book of knowledge, but are unable to estimate the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pure devotees like Uddhava, however, are never misled by such atheistic opportunists. Jai. Om Gyana Timanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksuson Militamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitamena Bhutale Swamupagadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakopa Tubhyascha Kripasindhu Bhivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the verse again. Therefore, O Vidura, does it not pain us, his servitors, when we remember that he, Lord Krishna, used to stand before King Ugrasena, who was sitting on the royal throne and used to submit explanations before him, saying, O my Lord, please let it be known to you. So I'd like to go to this verse again that Srila Prabhupada quoted in the purport about this Avajananti Mam Mudha, how fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and the Supreme Lord of all that be. That's a very long purport Srila Prabhupada gives in that, for that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, but there's just a few paragraphs I'd like to read from there. So Prabhupada says there in the purport for that verse, from the other explanations of the previous verse in this chapter, it is clear that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although appearing like a human being, is not a common man. The Personality of Godhead, who conducts the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the complete cosmic manifestation, cannot be a human being. Yet there are many foolish men who consider Krishna to be merely a powerful man and nothing more. Actually, his original personality of Godhead, confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna, he is the Supreme Lord. So another section there, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, how there are many Ishvaras, controllers, and one appears greater than another. In the ordinary management of affairs in the mature world, we find some official or director, and above him there is a secretary, above him a minister, and above him a president. Each of them is a controller, but one is controlled by another. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that Krishna is a supreme controller. There are many controllers, undoubtedly, both in the material and spiritual world, but Krishna is a supreme controller, Ishvara Parama Krishna, and his body is Sachit Ananda, non-material. So many people think that Krishna is just an ordinary person because he acts like a politician, as we're reading, or, you know, he's involved in the battle of Kukshetra. So he's just acting like an ordinary man. But they don't know that his body is full of bliss and knowledge, and it's completely absolute. And that's why I quote Sachit Ananda, this verse. So this is Krishna. So just like yesterday's class, was talking, Dhruva Karma was mentioning how no one can order Krishna around. So, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But yet, according to this verse, Krishna is asking to be ordered around. Krishna is asking because this is showing his mercy to his devotees. So this is so nicely described. So if we go to, as I mentioned, we go to the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, who is authored by Srila Sanatan Goswami, who we see there. So in Volume 1, which we're going to discuss today, the great sage Narada, we know, is a very pure devotee. He travels the earth to heaven, to the spiritual world, and is searching for the recipient of Krishna's mercy. Who has the greatest recipient of his mercy? So on his journey, he meets many pure devotees of Krishna, and he tells them, he honors them and glorifies them, and he gives evidence to show how they have been favored by Krishna. So each devotee that he approaches, they become embarrassed, and they don't like to hear themselves praised. And then they recommend to Narada someone else, another devotee. So Narada sees greater and greater manifestations of Krishna's mercy until he finds, as we know, we will find out how he finds the best, who are the gopis. So we're going to go to chapter 4 of that first volume. And we're skipping many sections where he met so many nice devotees. But here, Narada Muni was sent to Hanuman as one of the best recipients of, you know, Krishna's mercy. So Narada's praising him. He said, "Oh, you're the greatest recipient of the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Nobody can compare to you. Ah, you're always submerged in the ocean of ecstatic worship of the Lord, enjoying it as newer and newer at every moment." So again, the devotees, they don't like to be praised. So it's Hanuman saying, "Oh, best of the sages, why are you doing this to such a wretch, devoid of the lotus feet of Sri Ramachandra? Why do you make me cry by reminding me of how the Lord has neglected me?" So what happened, Lord Ramachandra, he actually left. And so he thought that, you know, I'm not very, very much of that mercy. So he said, actually, I have a hard heart. So in the next, I think it's the next verse, he says, "If I'm really the Lord's servant, then why did he forcibly abandon me when he took with him to his spiritual kingdom his dear devotees, including Sugriva and all the residents of Kosala? You are very kind to me because I've had the good fortune to engage in his service. You conclude that the Lord has given me his favor." So then what happens is Hanuman directs Narada Muni to the Pandavas, and then he starts to glorify the Pandavas. And this is what he says. That now he's descended to Mathurapuri, where he displays the summit of his opulences and powers. All the mercy he has shown me cannot equal even a speck of the mercy he has shown to the saintly Pandavas, any more than a molecule of earth can equal Mount Sumeru. So this is his showing his great respect to Narada Muni, and is telling him that, you know, they're actually more favorable than me. So he said, he continues to glorify the Pandavas. "By sending poison and many other calamities, one after another, to trouble the Pandavas from their childhood, the Lord deliberately showed their determination, religion, fame, wisdom, devotion, and ecstatic love." So they had to go through so many troubles, and Krishna just did this to broadcast their glories throughout the world. He goes on, "He acted as their servant, advisor, messenger, charioteer, and court attendant. He kept watch for them at night, followed them on processions, and even offered them praise and obeisances." So just see Krishna, you know, the greatest supreme, who is no one greater, he's acting in this way, just to show his mercy. So the Vaishnavas, he delights them in this way. And he's trying to explain to them that the Pandavas, you know, they have a special relationship with Krishna, better than I do, so you should go there. So the next verse he says, out of his affection, concern for them, what would the Lord not do? He was seen taking the combined roles of their servant, companion, and dearmost friend, and they took the same roles for him. So this is the amazing relationship Krishna had with them. So just a couple more from this section. Because the Lord resides constantly with the Pandavas, their capital city has become like a sacred forest where great sages perform austerities, and residing in that city awards one the same pious benefits as performing austere acts of penance. So he's comparing that to like, this is like a sacred forest where they live with Krishna. So it's described that the devotees of Krishna, the tapas that refer so much trouble and austerities that, you know, one attains to get one point of attention of Krishna is automatically attained by them, for they're just constantly thinking of Krishna. So in the next verse he says, Sri Parikshit said, upon hearing these words, Sri Narada became uncontrollably eager to see the lotus feet of Krishna. He simply wanted to go to Dwarka to live there forever. He stood up, sat down, and stood up again. He danced enthusiastically, filled with inner joy, and made loud cries. So hearing these descriptions, Narada Muni became ecstatic. And Hanuman also became joyful, and they were both jumping up. So Hanuman's heart was immersed in transcendental taste from speaking about the Pandavas. With his ecstasy raised even higher by Narada's dancing, he continued to speak about the topics. So they both, as I mentioned, they became ecstatic. So Sri Hanuman said, all the calamities that befell the Pandavas were most auspicious and desirable because those calamities made the personality of Godhead anxious to join the Pandavas quickly. O Pandavas, pure love has subdued you. Ignoring discrimination and etiquette, you engage my Lord as your messenger and charioteer. O you Pandavas, must know some transcendental herb or mantra that can enchant the most powerful enchanter. So then, this is actually, this narration is actually spoken by Parikshit Maharaj to his mother. He was explaining what he had heard from Sukadev. So he's kind of summarizing it. So he said, O mother, O celebrated wife of the son of the Pandavas. After Hanuman said this, he repeatedly jumped up in the air higher and higher, joining the sage Narada in dancing. He then continued to speak. So then we'll go to the next slide here. So the Yadavas, they were so fortunate. And they actually mercifully spread pure devotional service to Krishna throughout this mature world, this Marche Luga. And this is considered the place where the short-lived human beings are. So thus they have made this mortal realm more splendorous than Vaikuntha. So the devotees of Vaikuntha are certainly favored by Krishna, but not as much as the devotees of Dwarka. So Narada began to look at Mother Earth, and he was starting to glorify Mother Earth, and he said, she now sees in the sacred district of Dwarka, altogether unprecedented, the Lord of the spiritual material universes consorting with his servants as their intimate relative. So this is Krishna showing his mercy. So here we go to Dwarka, where Krishna is with, walking, strolling with King Ugrasena. So this is going to the fifth chapter of this Brihadbhagavatamrita, and we're going to start on just a few verses that relate to our class today. So Krishna has now forgotten Vaikuntha, for he is bound by intense, unbreakable loving exchanges with these Yadus. He sees the Yadus, touches them, talks with them, sits with them. He eats and sleeps with them, follows them when they walk, takes part in their marriage ceremonies, and shares in their other activities of embodied life. These relations are more tangible than the yogi's union with him in meditation. Thus, by his pastimes, Krishna spreads among the Yadus infinite pleasure, ever fresh and indescribable, destroying any desire they might have for heaven or liberation, and increasing more and more their devotion to him. So it's described that their meditation was so strong, more than the yogis. And they were just nothing else. They couldn't think of anything else but Krishna. So in the next verse, while eating, sleeping, sitting, walking, speaking, bathing, enjoying diversions, the Yadus are so absorbed in pure love for Krishna that they even forgot their own families and possessions. So this is their meditation. O Ugrasena, King of Exalted Kings, who can describe the extent of your astonishing great fortune? So they're glorifying Ugrasena as even one of the best there amongst the Pandavas and of the Yadus. Oh, just see the utterly amazing, infinitely wonderful ways in which the Supreme Lord, Hari, submits to love of his dear devotees. So this is all described here, that Krishna's so it's astonishing how he willingly submits to their control. So today's verse is showing how Lord Krishna went before Ugrasena, who was on the throne, and he would submit to him. Oh, my Lord, please let it be known to you. So in the Brihadbhagavatamrita, it starts to describe this actually in more detail. And then here, this verse 109 in the fifth chapter. O King of the Yadus, as you sit on your great throne, that same Hari stands before you like a servant and addresses you with reverence. He says, my Lord, please consider. Please order me your servant. I therefore offer constant obeisances to you and to all your relatives. So they define this word as britya, means servant. So in two ways, it means order carrier and maintain dependent. So Krishna played both roles. He was an order carrier and he was their maintain dependent. So this is very interesting described there. So we'll go to the next slide. So this is when the Yadavas said, no. You know, you should go to Uddhava, he's better. So they tell him to go to Uddhava. So this is what Prakshit says in verse 111. The Yadavas were all faithful followers of the Supreme Lord, the Lord who favors the Brahmanas. Dear Mother, those Yadavas then bowed down together to the great sage, touched his feet and spoke to him as follows. The fortunate Yadava said, even our Supreme Master Sri Krishna worships you. Why then, O venerable sage, are you acting like a lowly person by offering respects to us, the most lowly? You can defeat the wit of even Brahma, the master of speech, and so by the power of our Lord Yadavendra, what you have said to us cannot be untrue. So they can't say that what Narada Muni is saying is not true, but still they're humble. If one has even a slight trace of touch with Krishna, is there anything one cannot achieve? Krishna is a boundless reservoir of mercy and one's unconditional best friend. So here Krishna is showing his compassion to his pure devotees. And in the next verse, he goes on. He is the ocean of all greatness. Simply by remembering him assures all success. He is the master and only shelter of the most fallen, the provider of everything desirable to those who have nothing to possess. So Krishna's not only satisfied by fulfilling the ambitions of his devotees, but he likes to bestow, fulfill their desires in so many different ways like this. And it's just like described as a deep ocean, vast ocean of Krishna's great compassion and mercy. So in the next verse he says, but among us, blessed Uddhava has received Krishna's greatest mercy. That exalted soul is Lord Yadavendra's advisor, his disciple, his servant, and his extremely dear friend. So they're sending him to Uddhava. Sometimes the Lord abandons us to go on a journey. This gives us such distress that even when we see him again, the pain does not go away. We cannot be sure when he might go somewhere else, but Uddhava is always by his side, serving Lord Krishna, his master, and residing with him. Sometimes the Lord, the personality of Godhead, sends Uddhava on missions on which the Lord himself should go. For example, the Lord sent him to gain the release of Samba from the Kauravas had taken captive. So we'll go to the next slide, describing Uddhava even more. Uddhava stays alone with Krishna when the Lord playfully enjoys his meals. So he is the only person who can always obtain the Lord's Mahaprasad remnants. With great pleasure, Uddhava massages his master's lotus feet and then happily falls asleep with the Lord's feet on his lap. I could imagine. And even more, he goes into describing Uddhava's fortune. When the Lord goes out for confidential pleasures, Uddhava sometimes goes with him. And when Uddhava serves as the Lord's minister in the assembly hall, his precious gems of advice and his flood of witty and charming comments earn abundant praise from Sri Hari. They also delight us, all of us, and fulfill all our desires. So that actually it's described that when Krishna visited Kubja, Uddhava actually accompanied him. He went there with him. What can be said of his continuous good fortune? Since childhood, he has been so absorbed in the taste of serving his master's lotus feet that foolish people call him a madman. So they're thinking of Uddhava. He would be like, or look like he was haunted by a ghost. So people would judge him and say, look, he's just a madman. So, and describing more about Uddhava. Just see how amazing is his great eagerness to surrender always to the lotus feet of Mahadev, Madhava. He has even foregone the normal bodily features of a human birth and instead assumed a transcendental body closely resembling that of Sri Hari. Uddhava's body is more beautiful than even Sri Pradyumna's, and Uddhava is even more dear to Krishna than Pradyumna is to Krishna. When bedecked with jewels, pearl necklaces, yellow silk dress, forest flower garlands, Markara-shaped earrings, and other ornaments, Uddhava delights us, and we mistake him for the son of Devaki himself. No one attracts the hearts of Krishna's devotees more than Uddhava. So it's described that actually Krishna would give him all his different jewelry to wear. And I think even gave him the Kostoba jewel. He was even wearing that. So in the next verse, Sri Prakshit said, "Dear Mother, after hearing these and other exalted glories of Uddhava, Narada Muni, overjoyed, became eager to go to Uddhava's house." So in the next verse here. So Ugrasena was showing various symptoms of ecstasy, describing Uddhava. So Narada Muni immediately got up and went to go check him out. So Sriman Ugrasena told Narada, "My Lord, it is said that without Krishna's order, Uddhava never leaves the Lord's presence even for a moment. In contrast, despite my begging to stay in Krishna's company, I never obtain that blessing. I am deprived of that achievement because of my degraded occupation of protecting the kingdom." So this is how they would humbly look at themselves as inferior, you know, to Narada's praising them. And then the next verse, "I delight in only one real honor, being able to carry out Krishna's orders. But the false honor he shows me simply torments me and leaves me feeling cheated." So this is Ugrasena's only happiness, is that lies in receiving Krishna's command. "No other devotee of the Lord is ever cheated like us, but as for Uddhava, he enjoys the greatest happiness, privileged to stay always by Krishna's side. He is never deprived of Krishna's association. Therefore, please go to Uddhava quickly and convey from us this message. The appointed time today to come to the assembly hall has already passed. Kindly bring Krishna and grace the assembly with your master's presence." So they would always think of ways to have Krishna come. The Yadus would always think of ways, let's say there's a disaster or something, or let's do something, let's have a sacrifice so that Krishna will come. They're always thinking of ways to get Krishna to come. So in the next slide here. So the topic of the class was Priya, the beloved. And these are all the beloved devotees of Krishna. But when you go to the next chapter, 6, of the Brihadbhagavatamrita, it's called Priyatama, which means the most beloved. So when he went to Uddhava, he was praising Uddhava. So this is what Uddhava said when Narada Muni, "O Mighty One, knower of everything, most truthful speaker, greatest of sages, You are the master who teaches the means and the ends of bhakti, devotional service to the Supreme Lord. All you just said about me and more is self-evident to me. I know it was true before you said it, and so did others. So he's agreeing with Narada Muni for praising him, but still, he's going on here, says, what I saw on my recent trip to Vraja took my pride in my special good fortune and suddenly crushed it to dust. So Uddhava was very proud that, you know, Krishna was always, you know, giving him great fortune. So he thought he was like Mount Meru. But when he saw the Vrajavasis, he said that quickly reduced to a pile of dust. So in chapter 7, it describes Purna, the complete perfection. So this Brikshit saying to his mother, dear mother, you as well should always worship this young coward boy. He is the ocean that yields the nectar of the rasa dance, in which divine gopis fully surround him, entranced by pure love. You should cherish the desire to be a servant of these gopis. You should constantly worship him in pure love as they did. And you should dedicate yourself to the sankirtan of his names. So this is Pariksit Maharaj is summing up the lesson for his mother, what she should learn, that you should absorb yourself fully in Krishna consciousness and just reflect on the most perfect love the gopis have for Krishna in this rasa dance. And so this young, playful cowherd, you know, he is the form, he enjoys his original pleasure, and he has that amongst the devotees, his devotees. So this is how he ends the Brihadbhagavatamrita. With the help of his most excellent narration about the Supreme Lord, which shows who has received the essence of the Lord's mercy, one can understand him for certain. Anyone who for any reason takes shelter with faith of this narration will quickly attain love for Lord Sri Krishna. So this is how that ends. So we're just getting a glimpse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, today's class, of Ugrasena. He was considered to be very dear, very beloved to Krishna, and how Krishna, the supreme controller, no one can order him around. He's begging to be ordered around by his devotees. So he's just spreading this mercy and this love. So we're getting a glimpse here of Srimad Bhagavatam, which we're leading to these pastimes of Krishna in the 10th canto, purifying us so that we can be ready to absorb this nectar and appreciate it, actually, and become purified, as described here, that we can achieve this treasure of prema. So I'd like to end there and ask any comments or questions. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. You titled your class Priya, right? Priya?
Yeah.
And the beautiful description of Narada Muni going to different devotees, and
yeah,
the devotees disclaim that they were sent to another person.
Yeah.
So a verse came to my mind while you were saying that, where Krishna himself tells Uddhava, Yata tame priyatatma atma yonir na shankara na cha sankarsani nasrin na vama yate babam. He said, neither Lord Shiva nor Shankarshan, Lord Shiva, no Shankarshan, no, my brother Balaram, not even the goddess of fortune, and not even my own self is as dear as you are, Priya. So, but we see that actually every single devotee where he goes, the Lord gives their mercy and they are very dear to him. But in this particular verse, the Lord himself is telling to Uddhava that you are the most, even, I mean, you know, like if you think about Lord Shiva, Vaishnava Nam Yata Shambhu, the topmost Vaishnava. And so I was just wondering, you know, who is he talking about like that? Because I remember that I think Gopi Paranadana Prabhu, when he saw that particular verse, he himself, I think it comes from him, he's mentioning that Uddhava meaning all the pure devotees, not just Uddhava, that the Lord actually is speaking to other devotees. But I just leave it for discussion. Who will that who would be that person, like an exception, like the way Krishna is saying. No one can be as much dear as to me, not even my brother Balaram. Balaram is the in Tattva, his guru, the original guru. And Lakshmi Devi resides on his chest.
Yeah.
And, you know, like that. So then when Uddhava was glorified, he was sent to the gopis later on.
Yeah. So I kind of got to the end of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita in this first volume. But yes, a lot of those devotees are mentioned in the beginning. So many great devotees, like Prahlad, and, you know, so many of them are mentioned. But, and then each devotee, as you're saying, Uddhava, he's thinking that, you know, I what you're saying is true. Narada Muni is praising him the same way, like you said, that verse that you quoted. But he's saying that, you know, I thought I was king, you know, Mount Meru, but now I'm just dust compared to the Vrajas. So they're the best. So all the devotees of Krishna are dear to him, but there's different levels. Some are like most dear. You know, there's the beloved, there's the most beloved, and then there's the ones who have the complete perfection. So it's like that. Yeah. Yes, Bhrigupati Prabhu.
I'm not sure I understood the question properly, but if I did, Sachi's asking the question. So Uddhava's being glorified as the most dear, but, you know, how's that possible? There's his brother Balaram, Lord Shiva, who's called the topmost Vaishnav, and of course there's the gopis. But, you know, I think when it comes to glorification, you can do that. Like Prabhupada just to say, these are the most beautiful deities. And then he goes someplace else. And yeah. They were the most beautiful deities.
Yeah.
And like that, three or four different deities were the most beautiful deities. And also, this is the most important service. What you're doing here is the most important service. And then he talked, on another occasion, he'd be talking to some other devotees. This is the most important service. The pujaris are the most fortunate. The bhaktas are the most fortunate. There's nothing more fortunate than managing a sankirtan party. You know, so it seems like when you're glorifying, you can get away with it.
Yeah. But it's true. Krishna loves them all, but still, out of their humility, they refer them to someone else. And of course, who can compare to the gopis? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So, I like this point Bhrigupati Prabhu made.
Yeah.
I've thought about this, and I'm not sure this is kind of like a speculation. But it seems like Prabhupada may have like a different use of the English language, because how can like so many things be the best? Like in America, if you say one thing is the best, that means it's the best. Like there's nothing else that tops that or becomes equal to that.
Best
so
of
also
the best.
Like sometimes he'll say the seventh offense of the holy name is the worst offense. And then in other places he'll say like committing Vaishnava Aparad is the worst offense. So how can many things be the worst? So it may be, this is speculation, that it may be just he uses the English language differently than we're used to in America, perhaps.
Just, I don't know.
Yeah. But one thing...
It's interesting speculation.
One thing I had a question is, okay, you're quoting Brihad Bhagavatamrita.
Uh-huh.
And you were talking about Vaikuntha and Dwarka and Vrindavan.
Yeah.
So taking the standpoint that many devotees do, that the jiva was in the spiritual world and the jiva fell down to the material world. My question is this. So right now we're in the golden age of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya came to give but no other incarnation has given before. You know, pure love of God in Vraj, in Vrindavan, specifically in Madhurya Ras. He gave a special, a special invitation to even the fallen souls of Kali Yuga, that just by chanting the holy names, you can actually attain Vrindavan Dham. So I was just wondering if that standpoint is true, that the jiva falls down. If... say that your eternal form before you came to the material world was in Vaikuntha, so you were a Vaikunthavasi. And we know from your quoting Brihad Bhagavatamrita that, all the spiritual planets transcendentally, you could say that they're the same, but there's also a degree of intimacy and love of Godhead, even comparatively Dwarka, Mathura, and Vrindavan. So wouldn't it seem that if you were a Vaikunthavasi, you fell to this material world, you just so happened to come in contact with the Krishna consciousness movement right now, during the golden age of Lord Chaitanya, who's inviting you to go to Vrindavan, so it almost seems like perhaps it was a benediction that we fell from the spiritual world. Because now we are able to change our sarup and go to Vrindavan. Is it a benediction? Or?
Sure, why not? I mean, I think our original position is servant of Krishna, right? Eternal servant of Krishna. And I think these can actually change. I mean, they could change. Why not?
Yeah, I have a quote here where Prabhupada is asked that.
Yeah.
Should I read it?
It's sure.
Really nice.
Yeah.
So, Rameshwar Prabhu, one second, I have it here. He's asking this question. Srila Prabhupada, when the devotee is in the original relationship with Krishna, his siddha-deha, why is it that he sometimes changes his original rasa with Krishna? Prabhupada asks, what'd you say? Rameshwar repeats, each one of us has an original relationship with Krishna, some as a plant, some as a tree, some as a cow, some as a cowherd boy. So if that is reestablished, why should the devotee desire to change it? Prabhupada says, well, that is spiritual kingdom. You can change it if you like. Tamal Krishna says, it is not static. Prabhupada once explained, love is not static. And then Prabhupada says, generally, it is not changed. Just like Mother Yashoda, she's mother all the time, eternally. So he says that you could actually change your sarup.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Amazing. We can't understand. It's beyond us. But yeah, it's great. Thank you. Bring that up. Okay, any other comments, questions? Well, thank you for your kind attention. Oh, go ahead, Srimad Bhagavatam. Go ahead, Srimad Prabhupada.